All right, so I thought I would share with you guys an idea about the Rechush Gadol. This is coming from the third Aliyah, from actually this morning. I spoke about it a little bit. And the idea goes like this. As Bnei Israel are nearing the point where they're going to be leaving Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God, Daber na bosnei ha'am v'yishal'u ish me'et ve'ehu v'yisha me'et re'uta klei kesef u'klei zahav. Talk to the people. Tell them that they've got to ask their neighbors, their Egyptian neighbors, to give them, whether it's for borrowing or whether it's for giving permanently, klei kesef u'klei zahav, gold vessels and silver vessels, right? Money. That's what they've got to ask for on the way out. Rashi comments and says, the second word in this pasuk is kind of strange. It says, daber na. What does that mean, daber na? Actually, even Ezra says it means literally now. Now, now. Similar in English. I don't think that's the reason. But Rashi doesn't understand it that way. Rashi says, daber na means ein na ela lashon bakasha. That it's a request, like a polite request. B'bakasha mimcha. Hazhira malkach. Hashem says to Moshe, please, would you ask them and insist that they do what I'm asking. Shelo yomar otot tzadik Avraham v'abadum v'inu otam, kiyem b'hem v'acharei chen yitzir b'chush gadol, lo kiyem b'hem. Why does Hashem insist that Moshe insist that Bnei Israel take this clay kesef and clay zahav? Because he wants to make sure that he fulfills his promise to Avraham, and he promised Avraham v'acharei chen yitzu b'chush gadol, and if they leave empty-handed, then Avraham is going to come to him with a taina and say, oh God, you promised me that my descendants would eventually leave with a big fortune, and they didn't. So make sure that the Bnei Yisrael leave with this Rechush Gadol. I have two questions that I want to ask on this. The first question is, why do Moshe or Bnei Yisrael need to be convinced to take the fortunes of the Egyptians? Hashem is essentially saying, take some money on your way out. I'm giving you free license to ask the Egyptians and to demand from the Egyptians to take some money on the way out. Why did the Bnei Yisrael have to be convinced? You have to tell a Jew to take money? It doesn't make any sense. Why should they have a problem with this? So the Siftei Chachamim cite two different answers to this, and I want to add on a third one. The two answers that they cite, the Siftei Chachamim says, first of all, perhaps the point is very simple. It feels like stealing, right? Hashem is essentially saying, borrow the money from the Egyptians. But they know, we all know, that they're never giving that money back. Right, the Egyptians are never giving it back. Moshe feels that morally, ethically, from an honesty perspective, he can't really tell Bnei Israel to do it, and maybe they won't be comfortable doing it because it's dishonest. They'd be stealing these clay kesef and clay zahav because they're implying that they're going to give it back. So Hashem says, no, don't worry about that. In fact, you're taking this money as your salary. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about Gvia ben Pesisa and how he had to basically come out to defend Bnei Yisrael from the charge of the Alexandrians, the Egyptians in the future, that Bnei Yisrael had stolen money from them when they left with the clay reshush, the clay kesef and the clay zahav. And Gvia ben Pesisa eventually said, no, what are you talking about? We worked for that money. We were avadim for years, for hundreds of years. That's our money. We didn't steal it. And that's what Hashem was telling Moshe. That's one answer. The Maharal has a different answer. The Maharal says, no, Bnei Yisrael weren't worried from an ethical or a moral perspective. They were worried from a very practical perspective. They said, if we take this stuff from the Egyptians and we imply that they're going to get it back, what happens when a few days after we leave, the fourth day when we're supposed to come back already, they see we don't come back? What's going to happen then? We know what's going to happen because it happened. They came running after them. And so Hashem is telling Moshe, even though you're afraid that the Mitzrim are going to come running after you for the clay zahab and the clay kesef, nevertheless, take it. In fact, the real plan is Hashem wants them to take it because he wants the Egyptians to come running after them. That's part of his whole plan when he wants to inundate them in the waters of the Suf. But I think there's another answer, I thought of this by myself, but actually I just saw it cited in Rabbi Golden's book, by the Sefer Hasnaim Latorah of Zalman Saraskin. He says, actually, there's another reason why the Bnei Yisrael would be comfortable. Now, my father and my mother are here on the Zoom. I don't know if they can remember, but for sure my grandparents, right? After World War II, what happened? The Germans wanted to do all kinds of things. They wanted to make reparations, right? So they wanted to give money to the fledgling state of Israel. And there was a lot of debate. Should we accept the money? Should we not accept the money? Do we want the money from our former enemies, from the people who slaughtered us by the millions? In America, people wondered, should we buy Mercedes cars? Should we buy German cars? Should we reward them? Should we pay for anything like that? Maybe B'nai Yisrael on their way out of Egypt were saying, we don't want any of this stuff. I don't want to look at a piece of gold. I don't want, what am I going to do? In a few years, I'm going to be sitting in my home in Ra'anana and I'm going to have a piece of gold. And every time I look at it, I'm going to remember what the Egyptians did to us. I don't want that. But Hashem said, no, I want you to take it. Which brings us to my second question. And the second question is, why was it so important for B'nai Yisrael to take this Rechush Gadol? Why was it so important for Hashem to fulfill his promise to Avram and have the Jews take the Klei Kesef and the Klei Zahav on the way out? So one answer the Sifti Chachamim gives, just very simple, is what Rashi says. Hashem promised it to Avram. He needs to keep the promise. Hashem doesn't make promises he can't keep. B'nai Yisrael don't want the gold for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. Hashem made a promise to Avram. It's important to keep the promise to Avram, v'yetzu b'rechush gadol, to fulfill the prophecy that he gave to Avram. But the Baba Cherebi, Zatzal, he gives another answer. I think it's a beautiful answer. It's api kabbalah, api chasidus. And he says, it's in one of his sikhot, he says it in a few different places, a few different sikhot, but in one he says, you have to understand that the purpose, there was a purpose to the galut. There's a purpose to going to the galut, and the purpose of galut is it's a yiridah. It has to be l'tzorech aliyah. And a yiridah l'tzorech aliyah means that you can't come out of it the same way you came in. Otherwise, it's not a yiridah l'tzorech aliyah. If you go into a galut and you come out on the same level with all the same stuff, then that's not, the galut wasn't worth it. The purpose of the galut is to develop something and to give you something on the way out so that you should have a rechush gadol. Now, this could be on a gashmi perspective. It would also be on a rechuchani, more pnimiut perspective. The Rav Jabi actually looks at it. At first, he sees it from a physical perspective. They need to come out with a rechush gadol so that at least they have a physical manifestation of something new. Right? They don't come out on the same level that they went in. It was critical that they shouldn't feel as if, okay, well, that whole experience was pointless. Because what did we come out with it? We went in and we came out. We have some more people. We've had a terrible experience. Maybe we found it together, but we don't have anything to show for it. By giving them a goal, now at least they have something to show for it. That's on a very, very superficial Gashmi perspective. But he also quotes the Arizal. The Arizal, who says that, no, there's also a Pnimi perspective. That this Rechush Gadol, they come out with, this Klei Kesef and Klei Zahav, it wasn't just physical Klei Kesef and Klei Zahav. It was also a spiritual fortune that they came out with. That they were able to find the Nitzotzot in Mitzrayim. The Nitzotzot is a classic Kabbalistic Hasidic idea. And the idea is that we believe that everywhere we go, in all parts of our lives, all around us, are sparks of divinity, sparks of godliness, of light, that have become encrusted by our world. And our job, everywhere we go, is to shave off those crusts, to break the shells, and allow that light to come out, and to carry it along with us, and basically allow it to fill the world. Our job in Mitzrayim was to find those nitzotzot. That's why we were there. The whole purpose of the galut, according to the Arizal, according to Chassidut, is to reveal those nitzotzot. In fact, the Arizal says, the reason there's a mitzvah never to return to Egypt is because once we left, we took all the nitzotzot with us. There's nothing left there for us. There's no nitzotzot left in Egypt. It's pointless. The whole country doesn't even need to be here anymore because we already divested it of all of the good stuff. That's what the Arizal says. But either way, one way or another, the point is that this Rechush Gadol that the Jews come out with, those are the Nitzotzot that Hashem sent us in there for. In a very, in a very obvious way, there was a purpose to all that gold. Because in fact, we used it. Unfortunately, we used it for the golden calf first, the Egel HaZahav, but eventually, the real purpose of that gold is manifest. It was used for the Mishkan. That gold that we took from Egypt was used for the holiest edifice, the holiest construction that ever was. Eventually, there was a Beit HaMikdash, but at the time, the Mishkan was the Aron HaKodesh. That Aron HaKodesh was made with the gold that we took from the Egyptians, which is amazing, mind-boggling. That's what it was for. That's the Rechush Gadol that Hashem promised to Avram Avinu. Just to take it 3,000 years into the future, this past year, COVID, everybody always has to connect everything to COVID eventually. So while I wouldn't say that it has reached quite the level of Shibud Mitzrayim this past year, I don't think it's even close, it still feels like a kind of exile. But we can choose to experience it from a broader cosmic religious experience perspective. according to which we're in it for exactly as long as we need to be in it, and we won't come out of it any faster. I forgot to mention one point. It was actually quite an amazing point. I made a comment to Sonia about it. In the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Sicha, he said something which I thought was so funny. He says, you know, the Jews at the time in Mitzrayim, they were probably thinking, and this is why Moshe had to beg them to take the clay kesa and the clay out. They were thinking to themselves, we want to go out now. Let's go out now. Why do we have to waste time collecting the gold from the Egyptians? If we can leave right now without the gold, it's better to leave right now. But Hashem says, no. You have to wait until time is up. You have to wait. We can't leave now, because now is not the time. And I thought, and he says himself, he says, and in the future, Galut, he says, the Galut that we're in right now, says we have to wait for it to be over, because there could be things that we'll miss if we leave early. Just thought that was fascinating from a we want Mashiach now perspective, because it could be that we can't have Mashiach come right now because we're still waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for more nitzotzot to become available to us that we can take them out with us. And so too, as we think about the current galut that we're in, before we rush out of it, its time may have come, but before we rush out of it, let's try and see if there's any gold or silver that we can grab on the way out, some sparks of holiness that are encrusted and buried under all of this frustration and annoyance that we can use, Be'ezrat Hashem, to build our own Mishkan. Shavua Tov, everybody. Thank you all for listening and for coming.